You're listening to a Drishti Point podcast. I'm here on the phone with Brett Bevel. He is the author of Energy Healing for Everyone, A Path to Wholeness and Awakening. This book offers an accessible healing technique for mind, body, and spirit. Drawing from a series of personal mystical experiences, world-renowned energy healer Brett Bevel reveals an ancient technique of communing with the divine source of eternal light. Brett Bevel is an energy healer, Reiki master, and author of several books, including this book that I have in my hands, Energy Healing. Welcome, Brett.
Welcome. Thank you.
So I thought I would start by asking you a little bit about what inspired you to write a book to make energy healing accessible to people.
Sure. I mean, in my own path as an energy healer, one thing that I've really wanted to do, both with Reiki as well as this form, the Light of the Eternal One energy that's in my latest book, Energy Healing for Everyone, is to really widen the circle of accessibility, because I think that these energies can profoundly help us heal on the emotional level, the physical level, the spiritual level. And the world certainly needs, you know, a lot of healing at this point. And I don't feel like that's something that should be, you know, exclusively just for those who can afford to pay for individual sessions. I really want to empower people to be able to bring this work into their own lives on a daily basis.
And how did you come to the experience and technique of energy healing?
Yeah, so I mean, my own energy healing path began in the early 1990s with Reiki, and then it evolved over time. I studied some other energy healing modalities, such as vortex healing and some other styles of energy healing. And then in 2007, I had a very profound series of mystical experiences that really opened me up to these other forms of light, one of which is this light that I call Light of the Eternal One. That it's very, very easy and simple to use, and it has a very profound calming effect on a person to really just allow them to kind of get in touch energetically with that sense of the divine that's in all things. It's almost more like an energetic communion on a certain level that just really brings a person into a place of deep peace and calm, and sometimes even into a space of joy or bliss.
So, you know, when we think of healing others, is it important that we heal ourselves?
I think it's certainly important to work on yourself first. You know, one thing that I feel is primary is that, you know, we kind of have to be, you know, first working on ourselves to make sure that we're in a clear space energetically before wanting to work on another person. Certainly the book inspires people to really share this work, and the book actually teaches people how to empower and teach others. So I do want people to share it with others and to share the experience of it with others, but I always think, you know, to start with, the real foundation of the work needs to be with the person's self in the beginning, and then from there they can widen that circle of light to others.
And in your experience in working with, you know, people to do both Reiki and energy healing, what are the common kinds of traumas and blockages that we have that are very common in our society today?
Sure. I mean, I think for most people, the biggest one, I think, is stress. Just, you know, whether it's stress that's from work or from a family situation or some, you know, trauma that somebody's carrying around in their emotional or mental field. I think that in releasing that sense of stress is just, you know, a huge, huge leap forward in terms of being able to maintain a sense of optimal health. But I've also seen this work actually work in much more transformative ways. I was actually a little bit sort of blown away. The first event that we had for this book was here at Omega Institute where I work, and we had an event in the Ram Dass Library where we were, I was basically doing a talk on the book and also empowering people, and it was a, quite a large group. There was about 90 people in the room, and just before I went on the stage, there was a staff member here named Brandon whose father had gone into a coma, and so he and his family had relayed a message to me to please send some healing to his father, even though his father lived in Indiana and we were here in New York. And so I empowered the whole group of people, 90 people, to this energy, and then we sent some to Brandon's father, who was, again, in a coma at that point in time. And a couple of days later, he came out of the coma, and apparently, from what Brandon said, the people at the hospital were referring to him as a miracle man. Now, again, this is sort of an extended example of what one can achieve through this kind of work. And certainly in that experience, I think there was more factors than just the energy healing at play. Certainly it was his own desire and as well as his family's love for him that caused him to come back. But I'm really seeing some results that for me are actually a bit surprising beyond what I expected. When I wrote the book, I was really just thinking it's working more on a person's consciousness. Mm-hmm. But I'm starting to get stories of people telling me that it's actually having more dramatic healing effects, which I'm loving seeing that, but it's actually a little surprising to me.
That's really profound, just to think that healing can be done at a distance, that we don't need to be physically present with a person to do healing.
Yeah, I mean, it is common, actually, in, you know, in Reiki teachings at the second degree level and above. You know, sending distant healings is actually quite common, as well as in other energy healing forms that I've studied. And so, you know, it is maybe a little outside the box in terms of mainstream thought, but I know in a lot of energy healing modalities, the ability to send energy through time and space is actually something that's very commonly referred to. And in this particular technique, it's very simple. They're, unlike Reiki, where you need to use certain symbols and chant the names of those symbols, with the Light of the Eternal One energy, you literally just sort of hold your hands out and just imagine whoever or whatever it is you're sending to is in your hands, and the energy literally goes there. So it's really quite beautiful and elegant and simple.
Now, one of the chapters in your book is titled Mindful Diet and Mindful Action. How important is the food that we eat and our lifestyle and mindfulness in healing?
Yes, I mean, certainly, I think, you know, it's not that the book prescribes a specific diet. Is working with this energy to just at least be mindful of what they're putting into their body, you know, the energy of what's in their food and as well as just, you know, the actual content of the food. Certainly, you know, it sort of sounds sort of simplistic, but, you know, we are what we eat, and that's both on a physical level as well as the energy that's in the food. So in the book, I don't prescribe a specific diet, but I really do invite people to just at least pay attention and try to be mindful of what they're putting into their bodies and just really listen to their bodies and make sure that it feels appropriate as well as in alignment with their own sacred healing path. And I think that also is the same with our actions. I mean, you know, we are not only what we eat, but we are how we act and how we engage the world around us. So if we're acting in a way that creates ripples of whether it's anxiety or fear or things that are unhealthy for us, then, you know, you can do all the energy healing you want, but until you start to really change some of those behaviors, you know, it's going to limit what the healing can do. So I think really it's important to pay attention to not only receiving healing, but also to how we're interacting with the world around us.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I definitely agree with that. And it relates very much to the next subject I'd like to talk to you about, which is karma and the karmic body. Can you explain how you would define karma and the karmic body and why it's so important to heal or clear the karmic body?
Yeah, so there's a good teaching that I'll draw upon from my training in vortex healing, where they talk quite often about karma and karmic conditioning. And so for me, there's a, you know, I don't think one can totally release necessarily their karma through energy healing, but I do think that one can release what I call the karmic conditioning. So certain energetic patterns that might be set up in our karmic body that perhaps cause us to act in certain ways that may not always match what our own true sense of freedom might be. So, for example, let's say, you know, somebody's behaviors over lifetimes or even through this lifetime might, you know, lead them to behave in a certain way, whether it's respect to money or relationships or just their own self-worth. And through that, you know, through the accumulated activity, they've obviously got not only the karma of their actions, but also, you know, the karmic conditioning, which is sort of like, you know, if you could see it energetically, it would look sort of like an energetic spider web that kind of maybe skews how they look into the world and what they see reflected back to them. And so when one can begin to release that karmic conditioning, then it allows a person to really operate from a deeper space of freedom internally as well as externally. So it will change what you draw to you, the kind of situations you draw to you, as well as how you perceive those situations. So certainly clearing up that karmic conditioning is something that the book really invites the people to work with in using this light of the Eternal One energy.
So I guess that that is kind of like releasing patterns that maybe aren't ones that we've chosen, but ones that we've maybe inherited from our ancestors, our culture, or from the families that we've lived in, or things like that. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, I think that's true on a certain level, certainly that level. I mean, I do think some of it can certainly be, you know, also attached to our past behaviors, but that also includes, you know, the behaviors, again, of our ancestors, the thought beliefs of our families and our schools and where we were raised. I mean, all of that sort of is part of a larger energetic equation of who we are. And so what I really love about this light in particular is that it really helps me in a very easy, simple, user-friendly way to be able to drop into this space of feeling that vast sort of equal connection to everything and to the divine. And when I'm in that space and my consciousness is in that space, it just really allows me a deeper place of being able to see from again from a place of freedom and not feeling like that my mind is necessarily cluttered with these thoughts or expectations that may be not even my own mental voices, but more like voices from friends and family that, you know, that we carry as conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the chapters that I was thrilled to see, because it's the foundation upon which this show is based on, and that is the idea of selfless service or spiritual service. Can you talk a little bit about, in yoga, what we call karma yoga or seva?
Yes, I mean, I'm familiar with that concept too. You know, working here at Omega Institute, we have a lot of, you know, volunteers who work here and who are often, you know, doing karma yoga. And so I feel, having worked here for 15 years now, that's just sort of become part of my being. And so in this book, as well as in my other books, I always encourage people to really, you know, do karma yoga through the work of energy healing, by sharing it with others in a very selfless way, or doing work, you know, perhaps offering energy healing at a hospice or at a clinic where maybe one wouldn't be able to afford to pay for services. So certainly there are ways that one can share this work with others and be doing good in the world, you know, just sort of widening that circle of light and healing. So for me, I really just see it as a way to sort of give service back to the world at large.
And now let's get a little bit into the technique itself. Can you tell us about a little bit, like you mentioned the technique very briefly in terms of holding out your hands, but is there any preparation before mm-hmm. we do that? Is there a prayer or invocation? What does it feel like for the healer? Or what does it feel like for the other person?
Sure. So in the book, there's a phrase which allows you to get empowered to the work. And it's actually a process that I've experimented with over a number of years, previously in my Reiki books and now in this book, Energy Healing for Everyone, where, again, the idea that time and space are actually more of an illusion, and that one can actually send energetic empowerments through time and space. So basically, I've sent an energetic empowerment to this light called Light of the Eternal One that is in the book, that basically anyone who says a particular phrase that's in the first part of the book will then receive that energetic empowerment. And then once you have that energetic empowerment, which I sometimes like to use the analogy of like being a sort of a download of software into the program of your energy field. And so then you're able to access this energy. And it's very simple. Once you're able to access it, the hand position for self-treatment is actually very simple. You're just putting your hands on top of your head and literally just allowing this light to fill up around the area of the skull, filling up the brain, working on the cells of the brain. And then once you feel or sense or even just imagine that your brain is filled with this light, then you just simply intend, still holding your hands on top of your head, intend that it begin flowing down your spine. So it's really working primarily on the brain and nervous system. And the really beautiful thing that I like about it is that a treatment of this wonderful energy literally takes 5 minutes or less. So it's very user-friendly in the sense that one can do a daily practice of this, in sort of make it, you know, like the same thing as brushing your teeth or something that's very simple and easy and that you can do either when you get up in the morning or when you go to bed at night. So it's a very easy one to stay committed to it as a practice.
And are there any obstacles or challenges or situations where it doesn't work?
I've never known it not to work, but I do think, you know, that it is always good to ask for the permission of others if one is planning to send it to somebody else distantly. I always think that it's good to honor the free will of other people and not to you know, I have known some energy healers in the past who in the book, the importance of really, you know, honoring other people's free will and asking for permission of sending it to another. But outside of that, there's really no obstacle or limitation that I see within this system, that it, you know, just you can send it very easily to yourself or to others and also perform a treatment on yourself or others very easily.
Mm-hmm. And I guess lastly, you know, one thing I always like to ask guests is, do you have a personal practice? Do you do this ritual every day? If you do it every day, when do you do it? What practices do you do on a daily basis that help keep you grounded in that feeling of being connected with the divine light?
Sure. I mean, so as an energy healer, I often work with something that I refer to as the divine rainbow, which I think I mentioned towards the end of the book, that there's this idea that I like to work with, that there are actually many different forms of energy healing that are available to us now. And so as somebody who's trained in several of them, I like to kind of work with all of them. But I definitely every day do a self-treatment of Light of the Eternal One, as well as, you know, doing some Reiki and vortex healing and magical awakening and the other things that I'm trained in. But again, what I really love about this particular light, the Light of the Eternal One light, is that in itself it's just so simple and user-friendly. I mean, I'm one of those people that really loves to go deep and to work on myself for a good hour or so. But not everybody has the time to do that. So even if somebody doesn't have the time for that, they could still do this one practice for at least, you know, 5 minutes a day to just help align themselves with that sense of inner peace and calm, as well as, you know, sending it out into the world and into their day.
Mm-hmm. And you know, if you could articulate your grandest hope and vision for this book, what is it?
My grandest hope and vision in this would be that it helped bring peace to millions of people, because for me it's brought a deep sense of inner peace. And I would also, you know, ideally, if I had my wildest wish, I would love to help it see it bring peace on Earth, because I really think that the micro and the macro are so interconnected that really these manifestations of war and other kinds of violence that happen around the planet, not just between humans, but sometimes between humanity and other beings, that if we can really as a species find that deep sense of peace within ourselves, that will then, you know, radiate out into the world in which we live. So that's, you know, maybe it's a wild pipe dream, but it's really what I hope for and what I wish for.
Well, thank you for being so honest. You know, I love it when people have grand visions like that, because it's only through that kind of huge idea can we actually move towards a society like that. And the dream must be there before it's actually realized. So I appreciate that you have that grand vision.
Yeah, well, thank you.
It's been a real pleasure to speak with you and to connect with you through this fantastic technology that we have. And I look forward to reading the book. And I really also wish you much success in its reception, and that you do see that vision realized.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And again, thank you for having me on your show. It's a pleasure.